AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel and Hamas could soon move into the second phase of their ceasefire. This would include establishing an international force to secure Gaza and forming a temporary Palestinian government. Qatar's prime minister spoke at a conference in Doha, where he discussed the proposed next phase in the Gaza ceasefire, saying it should only be temporary.
At the end of the day, if we are looking at, what happened in Gaza, the catastrophe that happened in the last 2 years, it's not enough, because there is a root for this conflict. And this conflict is not only about Gaza. It's about Gaza, it's about the West Bank, it's about the rights of the Palestinians for their state.
In other news, there's a setback for prosecutors seeking a new indictment against former FBI Director James Comey. AP correspondent Donna Warder has more.
Federal Judge Colleen Coler-Catelli ruled Saturday night that the Justice Department is temporarily barred from using evidence prosecutors had relied on when they initially secured criminal charges against former FBI Director James Comey. Comey was charged in September with lying to Congress, but the case was tossed out last month after a different judge ruled that the Trump administration unlawfully appointed prosecutor Lindsey Halligan, who filed the charges. Prosecutors had relied on messages between Comey and Columbia University law professor and close friend Daniel Richman as evidence. Richman's attorneys argued that the data from Richman's computer files exceeded the scope of any warrant. Coler-Catelli has granted Richman a temporary restraining order. Comey's lawyers already have said that the statute of limitations to bring such a case against their client has expired. Donna Warder, Washington.
More information at apnews.com. This is AP News. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports the UN's aid office is downsizing its appeal for annual funding in 2026.
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says it's seeking $33 billion to help some 135 million people cope with fallout from wars, climate disasters, earthquakes, epidemics, and food shortages. This year, it took in $15 billion, the lowest level in a decade. OCHA Chief Tom Fletcher says, in 2025, hunger surged, food budgets were slashed, even as famines hit part of Sudan and Gaza. Health systems broke apart too. The UN aid coordinator sought $47 billion for this year and aimed to help 190 million people worldwide. Because of the lower support, it and humanitarian partners reached 25 million people fewer this year than in 2024. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The Trump administration's push to expand control over independent federal agencies is being argued before a sympathetic Supreme Court that could overturn a 90-year-old decision limiting when presidents can fire board members. Lawyers for the administration are defending President Donald Trump's decision to fire Federal Trade Commissioner Rebecca Slaughter without cause. The court's six conservative justices have already signaled strong support for the administration's position over the objection of their three liberal colleagues. By allowing Slaughter and the board members of other agencies to be removed from their jobs, even as their legal challenges continue to play out. China's exports returned to growth in November after an unexpected contraction in October, pushing its trade surplus for 2025 past the $1 trillion mark for the first time. Exports climbed 5.9% from a year earlier, while imports rose just under 2%. Customs data also shows that shipments to the U.S. dropped nearly 29% year-on-year. As trade with the U.S. weakens, China is diversifying its export markets throughout Southeast Asia, Africa, Europe, and Latin America. With exports still going strong, economists generally expect China to meet its economic growth target of around 5% for this year. The Social Security Administration plans to cut foot traffic to its field offices by 50% next year. Advocates worry that that could lead to more office closures. Field offices have been crucial for in-person help with retirement and disability benefits. The plan outlines a target of no more than 15 million visits in 2026. A spokesperson says technology improvements mean that more people manage their benefits online or by phone. This year, 7,000 workers have been laid off. Some rural offices have already closed due to staffing issues. Critics argue that this move limits access for those without technology. President Donald Trump has come out with a new national security strategy that paints European allies as weak while aiming to reassert America's dominance in the Western Hemisphere. The document, released by the White House, is likely to upset long-standing U.S. allies in Europe for its scathing critiques of their migration and free speech policies, suggesting those allies face the prospect of civilization erasure and raising doubts about their long-term reliability as American partners. Germany's foreign minister acknowledges that the U.S. is Germany's most important ally in NATO, but says questions about freedom of expression are not part of alliance discussions. Federal border agents are concentrating on an Hispanic enclave just outside New Orleans in what they say is an effort to root out criminals. The city of Kenner has the highest concentration of Hispanic residents in Louisiana and has been a target of a Department of Homeland Security immigration crackdown seeking to make 5,000 arrests. Uber driver Sergio Perez says that while he is a U.S. citizen, he still fears he'll be stopped because of the way he looks.
100% that I'm going to make it home, you know, because they can just stop me right now or maybe later on and just tell me that doesn't count. You're taking me to jail.
Perez says that the enforcement action is killing their spirit.
We need to work so we can feel useful. And, you know, if you take that away from us, we ain't nothing.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The man accused of planting a pair of pipe bombs outside the headquarters of the Republican and Democratic National Parties in Washington on the eve of the Capitol riot made his first court appearance. Sources tell the AP Brian Cole Jr. confessed to investigators and also indicated he believed the 2020 election was stolen and expressed views supportive of President Trump. Cole was ordered to remain in jail. He did not enter a plea and is due back in court in about 10 days. An FBI affidavit says investigators identified Cole as a suspect through analysis of credit card charges related to the purchase of pipe bomb components, information from cell phone towers, and a license plate reader. The bombs were rendered safe at the time. No one was hurt, but the FBI says the devices could have been lethal. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Florida's Republican-dominated congressional delegation is urging the Trump administration to drop a plan that would allow new oil drilling for the first time in decades off of Florida's coast. The letter was signed by Republican Senator Rick Scott and Ashley Moody, as well as by 28 House members from Florida, saying that the Interior Department plan would put the state's thriving tourism industry at risk and disrupt military operations in key training areas. The letter does not criticize Trump. Instead, lawmakers praised Trump's actions during his first term when he imposed a moratorium on drilling after a similar pushback from Florida lawmakers. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A historical marker from the site of the 1918 lynching of Mary Turner in rural southern Georgia is now on display in an Atlanta exhibit after the marker had been pocked with bullet holes and cracked at its pedestal. Mary Turner had demanded justice for the lynching of her husband Hayes Turner and at least 10 other black people. But the day after her husband's killing, a white mob strung her up to a tree by her feet and set her on fire. She was still alive, and the mob, with a knife, removed her 8-month-old fetus and stomped the crying child. Then they riddled Mary Turner's body with hundreds of bullets, killing her. No charges were ever brought against any suspected participants. At the National Museum for Civil and Human Rights, where the marker is now displayed, Mary Turner's great-granddaughter, Katrina Thomas, says, "I'm glad the memorial was shot up. She says millions of people are going to learn her story. Some 6,000 people gather each Sunday at Atlanta's 2819 Church to hear Pastor Philip Anthony Mitchell preach. And there's no sugarcoating the Bible.
God has put a clock on humanity, and it is counting backwards to zero. And once that clock hits zero, your fate will be sealed.
It's like a block party with Christian rap and contemporary music.
What is happening right now with our ministry is a divine, sovereign movement of God.
And to think that fewer than 200 people attended in 2023.
Sometimes I don't know why my preaching is reaching the various people groups that are being reached, or as far as it's going, I really don't know. I think there are times when I'm still shocked myself.
But the message Pastor Mitchell delivers is reaching, especially with young people.
How I found this church was from TikTok, and I decided to stay because I prayed on it and I asked God for confirmation this was a church that he wanted me to attend, and he confirmed it for me.
Tatwana Phillips is director of ministries.
Pastor has a heart for digital disciples. He says it like this. He wants to be able to wrap his arms around them digitally and let them know that they are loved. There's thousands online every Sunday.
2819 Church refers to Matthew 28:19, a Bible verse that commands believers in Christ to make disciples of all the nations. Pastor Mitchell.
I feel that when I'm preaching, I'm at the front line of war. I'm at the front line of a battle. There are souls that are hanging in the balance.
As a church, although it's new, for us to proclaim God's word.
California officials say there have been 21 cases of amatoxin poisoning from wild mushrooms. One adult has died, and several people, including children, have severe liver damage. And one patient may need a liver transplant. The culprit, the death cap mushroom, which the California Department of Public Health says can contain potentially deadly toxins that can lead to liver failure. The department's director, Erica Pan, says death cap mushrooms can be mistaken for edible safe mushrooms, and she's warning the public about foraging for wild mushrooms during this high-risk season, during which wet weather fuels the death cap mushroom's growth. They pleaded for help in one 911 phone call after the other. Some families were huddled on rooftops, some people trapped inside homes. They were in Kirk County, Texas, where in July, devastating floods killed at least 117 people, 136 statewide. Some of the worst flooding was at Camp Mystic, a summer camp for girls, where 25 campers and two teen counselors died.
We live about a mile down the road from Camp Mystic, and we've already got two little girls who have come down the river. And we've gotten to them, but I'm not sure how many else are out there.
There were more than 400 calls for help across Kerr County. I'm Donna Water.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Market Report. Stocks rose to the edge of their all-time high on Wall Street. The S&P 500 rose 0.2% Friday. The index finished just shy of its record closing level, which was set in October. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 104 points. That's about 0.2%. The Nasdaq Composite climbed 0.3%. The modest moves capped a quiet week for Wall Street following weeks of sharp swings. Warner Brothers Discovery rose 6.3%. Netflix said it would buy Warner Brothers after it splits off from Discovery Global. Treasury yields rose in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury climbed to 4.13%. Seth Soutell, New York.
Olympic swimming champion Gregorio Peltrinieri carries the sleek torch around the track of the statue-lined Stadio dei Marmi to begin a nearly 7,500-mile trek that will wind its way through all 110 Italian provinces before reaching Milan's San Siro Stadium for the opening ceremony. It's a lot of emotions that gives us the right energy, says Milan Cortina CEO Andrea Vania, commenting on the launch of the relay.
It's a lot of emotion this last 2 days, you know, going to Greece, getting the flame, bringing it to our president. It was fantastic. I think he gave an incredible speech yesterday. And today, finally seeing all our work taking form, you know, and with the relay starting. It's a lot of emotion that gives us the right energy. to go on for the next 60 days because there's still a lot of work to do at in Milano and Cortina in the mountains. But it's good to see on a beautiful day like this that we start bringing the Olympic flame around the country.
The torch relay, which includes 60 city celebrations, will be in Naples for Christmas and in Bari for New Year's Eve. It will reach 2026 Olympics host Turin on January 11. In all, there'll be 10,001 torchbearers. I'm Charles de la Desma.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. The Packers overtook the Bears for first place in the NFC North with a 28-21 victory to improve to 9-3-1. Keyshawn Nixon sealed the win by intercepting Caleb Williams in the end zone with 22 seconds left.
We're trying to go undefeated in the division. That was our goal, so we two more games left.
Aaron Rodgers' Steelers bested Lamar Jackson's Ravens 27-22 to claim the AFC North lead. Colts QB Daniel Jones could be out for the season after suffering a right Achilles tendon injury. Indiana is number one, Alabama and Miami are in, and Notre Dame is out in the college football playoffs 12-team bracket. The undefeated Hoosiers vaulted to the top spot after their win in the Big Ten title game against Ohio State, which fell one spot after its 13-10 loss. Indiana QB Fernando Mendoza tossed the winning touchdown in the third quarter Saturday.
Whenever we're in any adversity, we're always there, stick by each other, not finger pointing. I think that's what elevates us to our competition and exceeds expectations.
SEC champ Georgia was third and Big 12 titleist Texas Tech fourth. Number 9 Alabama and number 10 Miami made the field by leapfrogging Notre Dame, which lost to the Hurricanes during opening week. Notre Dame says it will not participate in a bowl game this season. NBA, LeBron James' late go-ahead 3 and 29 points led the Lakers past the 76ers 112-108. Hideki Matsuyama won golf's Hero World Challenge in a playoff.
It's a true honor.
Jeff Kent has been elected to baseball's Hall of Fame by the Contemporary Era Committee, while steroid-tainted stars Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were among seven players who fell short once again. Kent appeared on 14 of 16 ballots. The five-time All-Star won the NL MVP award with San Francisco in 2000.
I'm floored that people across the country have recognized the Giants and more specifically recognized me of the talent that I had given this year. So you bet. Going up against some tremendous quality talent in Barry Bonds and Todd Helton and Jim Edmonds and Mike Piazza, I'm losing my breath mentioning guys like that.
Carlos Delgado received 9 votes, followed by Don Mattingly and Dale Murphy with 6 each. Bonds, Clemens, Gary Sheffield, and Fernando Valenzuela each received fewer than 5 votes. Kent will be inducted at the Hall in Cooperstown on July 26th. Roy Kramer, who as commissioner of the Southeastern Conference helped transform the league into a national power while reshaping the entire sport of college football, has died.
An opportunity for us to truly celebrate college football.
He was 96. Kramer served as SEC commissioner from 1990 through 2002. He was the first to imagine a conference title game, which divided a newly expanded 12-team league into divisions and pitted the two champs in a winner-take-all affair that generated millions in TV revenue. That led to his greatest contribution to the sport with the Bowl Championship Series that paved the way for the current college football playoff system.
For the first time, at least in modern day history, we have been able to put together an agreement that will provide us with a true national championship game at the end of the season.
The United States was drawn to play its 2026 World Cup opener against Paraguay in Group D play at Inglewood, California on June 12th, the day after Mexico hosts the opener against South Africa. The group also includes Australia and the winner of UEFA Playoff C between Turkey, Romania, Slovakia, and Kosovo. The U.S. reached the semifinals at the inaugural World Cup in 1930 and has gotten as far as the quarterfinals only one other time in 2002. Argentina and Lionel Messi will play Algeria to open its World Cup title defense. The ceremony took place at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
A UN delegation has visited Lebanon to explore options for the country's south once the UN peacekeeping forces term ends next year. Samuel Jbogar, the current president of the UN Security Council, addressed peacekeeper security and support for Lebanese forces.
Let me also reiterate that safety of peacekeepers must be respected and that they must never be targeted. We urge intensified international support for the Lebanese armed forces, including for their sustained deployment south of Litani River. We support the Lebanese government decision to ensure the state's monopoly of arms.
Lebanon's Prime Minister Nawaf Salam emphasized the need for a follow-up force in southern Lebanon. The UN Security Council voted to end the peacekeeping mission, known as UNIFIL, in 2026. UNIFIL has played a key role in monitoring the region, especially during conflicts between Israel and Hezbollah. The delegation met with top Lebanese officials and visited the border area with Israel. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
Thailand has launched airstrikes along the disputed border with Cambodia as both sides accuse the other of breaking a ceasefire that halted fighting earlier this year. The Thai army says more than 50,000 people have left areas near the border for shelters, while Cambodia's information minister says residents of several villages near the border have been evacuated. The latest round of clashes have killed at least one Thai soldier and four Cambodian civilians, officials say. Long-standing border disputes erupted into 5 days of combat in July that killed dozens of soldiers and civilians. President Donald Trump pushed the Southeast Asian neighbors to sign a truce agreement in October, but tensions have continued to simmer. The blaze ripped through the popular nightclub in Apora Village, North Goa, killing 25 people, including tourists, the state's chief minister says. Pramod Sawant added, most of the dead were the club's kitchen workers, as well as three or four tourists. Six people were injured and are in a stable condition, he added. The fire was caused by a gas cylinder blast and has been extinguished, the Press Trust of India news agency says, quoting local police. However, witnesses tell the agency the blaze began on the club's first floor, where nearly 100 tourists were on the dance floor. Several apparently rushed to the kitchen below in the chaos and got trapped along with staff. The group, which called itself the Military Committee for Refoundation, had announced the removal of the president and all state institutions. The Minister of the Interior and Public Security, Alassane Seydou, says in the video broadcast, in the early morning of Sunday, December the 7th, 2025, a small group of soldiers launched a mutiny with the aim of destabilizing the state and its institutions. Faced with this situation, the Beninese armed forces and their leadership, true to their own oath, remained committed to the Republic. Earlier, a group of soldiers had appeared on Benin State TV to announce the dissolution of the government in an apparent coup, the latest of many in West Africa. Nobel Week is underway in Stockholm and Oslo, with laureates holding news conferences and lectures before they will be awarded the prestigious prizes. It's already been announced that Hungarian László Krasznahorkai has won the prize in literature for his surreal and anarchic novels that combine a bleak worldview with mordant humour. He's expected to give a lecture in Stockholm in one of his rare public appearances. The judges have described the 71-year-old as a great epic writer whose work is characterised by absurdism and grotesque excess. Last year's winner was South Korean author Han Kang. The 2023 winner was Norwegian writer Jon Fosse, whose work includes a seven-book epic made up of a single sentence. Ambulance crews treated over 20 people at a Heathrow Airport parking garage where the assaults occurred. Five were taken to a hospital, though their injuries are not believed to be serious, authorities say. The incident in Terminal 3 happened after an argument escalated between two groups who knew each other, the Metropolitan Police say. The clash is not being investigated as terrorism. One man's being held on suspicion of assault while police search for other suspects who left the scene. Passengers using the terminal were delayed for several hours. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A mass shooting at a bar near Pretoria, South Africa, has left at least 11 people dead, including children. Police spoke about the details of the mass shooting and how they're dealing with these crimes.
These illegal shebeens are really giving us a problem as the police, because a lot of murders are being reported at these illegal establishments. And between April and September of this year, we actually shut down throughout the whole country 11,975 of these illegal shebeens.
Police say the shooting occurred in an unlicensed bar in a nearby town. More than 10 people were wounded and taken to the hospital. Authorities are searching for suspects. South Africa has one of the highest homicide rates in the world, with firearms being the leading cause of death. Despite strict gun laws, illegal firearms are commonly used in crimes. mass shootings at bars have been a reoccurring issue in the country. Philippine officials say Chinese forces have fired three flares from an artificial island toward a Philippine plane. This incident happened when the Philippine plane was making a routine patrol in the disputed South China Sea. The flares did not cause any problems, and the aircraft proceeded with its surveillance mission. According to Filipino officials, the flares were fired from the Chinese-occupied Subi Reef, but it remained unclear how far they were from the Philippine Fisheries Bureau's Cessna Grand Caravan aircraft. Chinese officials did not immediately comment on the incident. Beijing has claimed virtually the entire South China Sea and has vowed to persistently defend its sovereignty. Russia has launched a significant missile and drone attack on Ukraine. First responders are dealing with a devastating aftermath of the attack, where they're seen extinguishing flames at a burnt-down warehouse. The strike comes as U.S.-mediated peace talks continue, with U.S. and Ukrainian officials working to end the nearly four-year-old war. They've made some progress on a security framework for post-war Ukraine. However, both sides acknowledge that real progress depends on Russia's commitment to peace. During the attack, Ukraine's Air Force reported shooting down numerous drones and missiles. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said energy facilities were the main targets. The attacks occurred as Ukraine prepared to mark Armed Forces Day. Russia also reported it had shot down a smaller number of Ukrainian drones. A drone attack by Sudanese paramilitary forces has hit a kindergarten in south-central Sudan. According to a doctor's group, the strike killed around 50 people, including more than 30 children. Paramedics in the town of Kalugi were targeted in a second attack. A rights group called Emergency Lawyers reported a third strike on a nearby civilian site. They blame the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, for the attacks, calling them violations of international humanitarian law. The conflict between the RSF and the Sudanese military has intensified, with hundreds of civilians killed in recent weeks. UNICEF urges an end to the violence and safe access for humanitarian aid. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, Pope Leo wraps up his first trip abroad, speaking to the people of Lebanon and turning his focus to global peace efforts. Pope Leo XIV prayed silently as a helicopter flew overhead at the site of the 2020 Beirut port explosion. The Pope finished his first international trip this week to Turkey and Lebanon. AP's Malik Harb explains what the Pope offered to the people of Lebanon.
Pope Leo XIV wrapped up the second leg of his first international trip in Lebanon, ending it with a public mass in Beirut's waterside waterfront right behind me, where tens of thousands gathered to take part. During his visit to the tiny Mediterranean country mired in war and years of economic crisis, he came carrying a message of peace to bring hope to Lebanon and the Mideast, which is going through conflict and turmoil. But before ending his three-day stay with this public mass, the Pope spent his first 2 days meeting with Lebanon's political leadership and visiting the country's Christian shrines. But Pope Leo's message for Lebanon was also for its various Muslim sects, holding an interfaith dialogue with spiritual leaders of Lebanon's Christian and Muslim denominations.
Just a year or two ago, I too thought about retiring someday.
On his flight home from Lebanon, the Pope shared his thoughts on the conclave and international peace efforts. AP's Jennifer King reports.
So, what was it like?
He shared for the first time what he was thinking when the votes started going his way during the papal conclave.
I resigned myself to the fact when I saw how things were going, said this could be a reality. I took a deep breath. I said, here we go, Lord, you're in charge.
Leo fielded questions for half an hour, switching between English, Spanish, and Italian, and showed he's becoming more comfortable with the press.
Sobre Venezuela.
Amid tensions between the U.S. and Venezuela, he urged dialogue rather than military threats. As for future travels, Leo says he'd like to make a second trip as Pope to Africa next year, particularly Algeria, the birthplace of St. Augustine. I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.